Good morning to you all. Very warm welcome to you all here in Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. After the service, you are invited to join us as we drink tea and coffee and eat cakes and biscuits and other nice things in our church hall. That would also be an opportunity for us to chat with one another. I also wish to welcome those I often forget, those worshiping with us via Zoom, and those who will be listening to our service afterwards from our church's website. This afternoon at 2 p.m., there will be a party in the church hall organized by MANA, and this is for all of us, so I'm sure that we'll have much more than just teas and coffees this afternoon. Our call to worship is from Psalm 82, verses 1 to 4 and 10 to 12. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 132, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise.
Yeah.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, in the stillness of this new day, we come before you with grateful hearts. We thank you for the restful embrace of the night and the promise of light that another day brings. You have invited us into your magnificent presence here in Newport-on-Tay Church, a place where we feel the warmth of your love and the weight of the abundant blessings you shower upon us daily. But even as we stand in awe of your magnificence, we acknowledge that we often fail in many ways. In the midst of your countless blessings, our hearts sometimes fail to brim with the gratitude they ought to. We confess that there are moments when our souls are blinded by our desires, needs, and worries, causing us to overlook the essence of true thankfulness. We pray for every soul gathered in your house today, for those who carry heavy burdens, those who cloak their sorrows behind a smile, and even those who have joy in their hearts. Lord, you know our inmost thoughts and desires. Shine your divine light upon the dark corners of our lives, illuminating our path and filling us with renewed strength. Forgive us, Lord, for the sins we consciously commit and those we unknowingly overlook. Cleanse our hearts, making them pure vessels of gratitude. And as we think of the theme of the heart of gratitude this morning, let it be a constant reminder of the Samaritan's thankful heart amid 10 lepers. Dear Father, hear our prayers, even the ones we now say in the silence of our hearts. Accept our worship as we adore and thank you. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning, children. Hello, everyone. How are you today? Are there more children in church? Come out, please. There are some treats for you today. Is there anyone here who is not allowed sweets? Hands up. Anyone who is not allowed sweets? Hands up. If you are allowed sweets, hands up. All of you. How are you today? Good? It's been a beautiful week. Loads of sunshine. Unfortunately, I caught a cold. That's strange, isn't it, when the weather is so good? But I'm here anyway to share a story with all of you. I have a special something for you. Can you guess what's in this box? Pretty obvious. Sweets. Do you like sweets? Good. And I really want to give them to you. I want to share these treats with you. But before I do so, I need you to do something. How might you ask? How might you ask? Yes, okay. Could I please have a sweet? Is that a way to ask? And the answer is yes, you can please have a sweet. So I'm going to give each of you a sweet, okay? Because you've asked rightly. Just take any. All right. Should I give the congregation too? No. It's too small. I'll keep this to myself. Great. So, there you go. You all have your sweets in your hands. And some of you are already eating. Are they nice? Okay. Now, after you took the sweets, were you supposed to do anything? Yes, Michaela. Say thank you, but you did not. You just took your sweets and started eating. You did not say thank you. Well, but that's a good answer. You should have said thank you. Because whenever something is offered to us, we have to say thank you. When we need or want something, we have to ask politely by saying please. And when we are given that thing, we also have to say thank you. There is a story in the Bible about 10 people who were very sick. They had a disease called leprosy, and sometimes their bodies were yucky. They looked quite bad and smelly too. And then they saw Jesus, they knew that he could heal them. So he asked them to go to the priests, because that is what happened. There were people who were unwell were often sent to be examined by the priest, and on their way, they discovered that all of them were healed. If you were one of those lepers, what would you do? What would you do? Yes, Michaela. You will pray to Jesus. Yes, you will pray to Jesus. What will you do? Any other answers? If you were sick and somebody really did heal you, yes.
Thank you.
You will pray to Jesus and you will say thank you to Jesus. Now, out of the 10 people, one of them went back to Jesus to say thank you. And the other 9, what did they do? Yes? They just walked away, disappeared. Is that a good attitude? No. We must be thankful. And when this man came back to Jesus and thanked him, Jesus added another blessing. He had healed them, but now he said, "Your faith has made you well," which means that you can be healed from a disease, but you will not be well. And wellness means many other things apart from physical healing, your mental health, emotions, and all that. So this man became completely healed. What we learn from this story is that we should be thankful. When we have received a blessing, whether from our parents, from our friends, from our teachers, from the doctors, everybody, we should be thankful to them. And it is a very important lesson for children as you grow up. Some children grow up and then they just leave home. They never go back to their parents. They forget the days when they were crying and we were carrying you up and down, struggling with you. You just forget. It shall not be so with any of you. When you have received a blessing and any gift, good gift that you've received, what should we do? Thank you. And if you say thank you, I will bring more sweets to you because I like to hear thank you. Let us pray. God, our Father, we give you thanks for your love for us and for your kindness. And we thank you for our children. As they continue to learn from your word, we pray, O God, that you will empower them to make this world a better place for everyone. Continue to give them and all of us grateful hearts for what we've received freely from you and for the blessings with which other people bless us. Let your name be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are going to sing one of those very nice hymns, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," and you will stand. with the rest of the congregation as you sing.
Oh, The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, and he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went to his with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hands over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I have washed in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple at Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive his servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said. And the New Testament reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Amen. We now continue the service by singing hymn number 15, The Lord's My Shepherd.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, as we reflect from your word this morning, open our hearts to receive it and give us the courage, O Father, to keep it and to walk according to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, think with me this morning on the theme, the heart of gratitude. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, from the verses 1 to 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. This passage presents a vivid portrayal of the last days, characterized by a sweeping decline in moral values, righteousness, and genuine godliness. In its enumeration of negative traits, it brings to the fore one particularly significant term in our context: ungrateful. Amidst all the predicted chaos and moral degradation, the virtue of gratitude is identified as conspicuously absent. In today's world, one can't help but observe a growing sense of entitlement and ingratitude. In an era dominated by consumerism, individualism, and rapid technological advancements, it is easy for gratitude to be overshadowed by constant desires, comparisons, and self-centeredness. As we are continuously exposed to a myriad of choices and luxuries, the line between needs and wants blurs, often leading to a diminishing sense of contentment and appreciation for what we have. And in a world where people are lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, the story of the 10 lepers provides a compelling narrative on gratitude. 10 were healed. 10 who had known the pain of isolation and the yearning for a touch of healing. Yet, when that profound blessing was bestowed upon them, only one, the Samaritan, an outsider, felt compelled to return and express his gratitude. It was not just the healing that was miraculous, it was the rare act of genuine thanksgiving, an act that set the Samaritan apart from the rest. Let me paint a brief picture of the context. It was in the boundary lands of Galilee and Samaria that Jesus Christ met the 10 lepers. Among these 10 was a Samaritan. Remember, Jews and Samaritans were traditionally in discord, yet in their shared affliction, they stood united. The walls of difference had crumbled before the leveling force of their common pain. Friends, we all know that when calamity strikes, whether it is a natural disaster or a personal crisis, we often see people from different backgrounds come together to help one another. It reminds us of our shared humanity, urging us to stand together despite our differences. In those moments, we remember that we are all human beings in need of God's grace. But there is something else about the text. These lepers in their affliction had to stand far away from healthy people. The isolation they endured was not just physical, but emotional and spiritual as well. And again, it paints a stark picture of the loneliness and desperation they faced. This reminds us also of the deep loneliness and isolation many people feel in their lives, seeking out a touch of grace from us, and especially from the Master Jesus Christ. Despite all that, out of the 10 healed by Jesus, only the Samaritan returned to thank Jesus. Why is gratitude such a rare gift in our time and in our lives? Think about children and parents. Often in the hustle and bustle of life, many children forget the sacrifices of their parents, the countless nights they stayed up, the countless sacrifices they made. Or do we truly show our appreciation for all they have done? Shakespeare, through King Lear, reminds us how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. I thank God for children, especially Christian children, who are ever grateful to their parents for their sacrifices. But think also of ingratitude to friends and benefactors. Many of us have benefited from the kindness of others, friends, teachers, doctors, wives, husbands. Yet, how often do we truly acknowledge or thank them? The tragedy is not that we can't repay all the kindness, it is that sometimes we don't even try. Finally, what about our relationship with God? In our deepest moments of need, we often turn to God. Lord, hear my prayer. Hear my cry for help. If only you will heal me, just take away the pain from me. Yet, when the storm passes, how quickly we forget our promises and our prayers. Dear friends, God's love is boundless. The least we can do is to remember and thank him daily. The stories from 2 Kings and Luke 17 reflect a painful truth about human nature. Often when we receive blessings, whether it's healing, help from others, or even God's grace, we forget to be thankful. Like the 9 lepers, who didn't return to Jesus, or Naaman's initial hesitation to thank Elisha, ingratitude can creep into our hearts. But we've got to be thankful. True gratitude doesn't just utter words, it shows in actions. It seeks to repay, to recognize, and to remember. Healing is a profound blessing, but it is incomplete without gratitude. Like the leper who returned to thank Jesus, let us cultivate hearts of gratitude. Gratitude that goes beyond healing. Gratitude that transforms us into better children, friends, and followers of God. I want to urge you this morning to say thank you to people and to God before it is too late. The brilliant writer, Scottish writer Thomas Carlyle, lived on a farm in Dunfrieshire, which he called the loneliest nook in Britain. Each day he climbed a ladder to his attic, where he worked until dark. His devoted wife Jane was left alone. One evening at dinner, Jane asked why he had never expressed appreciation for the food she lovingly prepared for him. Woman, Carlyle barked, must you be paid for everything you do? With that, he stamped off to his attic workshop. Years later, when his wife died, Carlyle found her diary. On tear-stained pages, he read this recurring refrain, oh, I wish you would say a kind word or give me a compliment now and then about the things I try to do to make you happy. Poignant, isn't it? Friends, in our contemporary setting, the story of the 10 lepers and the one grateful one beckons us to introspect. Are we too sometimes like the 9? Blessed in countless ways, yet often too preoccupied or self-centered to pause, acknowledge, and express our gratitude. Gratitude is more than a fleeting feeling. It is an act of humility, of recognizing a power greater than ourselves, of connecting deeply with God and others. The Samaritan, in returning to Jesus, displayed an understanding that his healing was more than just physical, it was spiritual. His gratitude transcended his immediate circumstances, reaching out to the source of his blessing. And Jesus Christ pronounced another blessing on him. Go, your faith has made you well. So he was healed and made well. You can recover from an injury or illness, but you still need emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. The grateful leper had all this, while the nine simply recovered. Sincerely giving thanks not only helps us recognize our blessings, but also unlocks the doors of heaven and helps us feel God's love. When you walk with gratitude, you do not walk with arrogance and conceit and negativism. You walk with a spirit of thanksgiving. Do we recognize the many things many people around us are doing to make us happy? Let us thank them now. Do we recognize the many blessings God has blessed us with? Let us thank him now. God's boundless blessings shower upon us every day. The psalmist reminds us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Let us thank people, and let us thank God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts to see the countless blessings you've bestowed upon us. Teach us gratitude that goes beyond words, that propels us to acts of kindness and love. And let our hearts always remember, acknowledge, and cherish every good turn done to us by others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. It's our next hymn, 547.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us thank God for ourselves and for the world. Almighty and gracious Father, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude. We dedicate not just our offerings, but our lives to you. With each gift we present, we show our commitment to your kingdom and the betterment of this world you have so lovingly created. We fervently pray for the world that so desperately needs your touch. Bestow your divine justice and peace in places fraught with conflict and despair. We lift up the refugees displaced from their homes and seeking solace. We pray for the sick in need of your healing touch, the hungry yearning for sustenance, and those who mourn, longing for your comforting embrace. We pray for the political landscape of Great Britain. Guide the leaders and decision makers with wisdom, ensuring they champion justice, peace, and equity. Lord, we remember the conflicts that continue to scar our world, especially in Ukraine, Anglophone Cameroon, Sudan, Burkina Faso, Gabon, and Central African Republic. We earnestly seek your intervention that peace may reign and healing may begin. We pray for the Church of Scotland, standing at the crossroads of change, as it seeks ways to facilitate your mission here on earth. Grant wisdom, clarity, and unity to its leaders and members. We pray for ministers, those contemplating changes in their roles or facing the uncertainty of transitions. May they discern your guiding voice amid the clamor of change. We remember our congregation and parish here in Newport-on-Tay. Bless each member. Strengthen us with good health, courage, peace of mind, and unwavering spirit to face life's challenges. Father, we have been thinking about the heart of gratitude. We remember those who have transitioned to glory. May their souls rest in eternal peace, and may those they have left behind find solace in cherished memories. In moments of despair, Lord, remind us of the Samaritan leper's gratitude. Inspire us to constantly turn towards you in thanksgiving, recognizing every blessing, every lesson, and every challenge as a testament to your everlasting love and grace. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are able, please stand and let us together affirm our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We will bring this service to its close singing 419, Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Thank you. peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.